Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Thanks for joining us here on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we turn now to a case before the California Supreme Court that could have major implications for social media privacy. It involves a murder that took place in San Francisco back in June of 2013.
It was sort of a gang-related shooting, the police say. A 19-year-old was shot. A 14-year-old ended up being charged with a crime and then incriminated his brother. And the case came down to motive and witnesses.
That's the familiar voice of Andrew Cohen there, senior editor at the Marshall Project and author of this week's Case in Point. Motive and witnesses, Andrew says. Seems simple enough. But that's where things get messy.
The defense thought, since this was evidently a gang-related shooting, and that the defendants in the case said that the victim had threatened them via social media, that they wanted access to the social media accounts.
So the defense team subpoenaed Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms, trying to get access to the accounts in question to prove self-defense. But the company said they were legally forbidden from giving up that information, all because of a federal law dating back decades.
Under the Stored Communications Act, which was a 1986 law, there is an exception so that these media companies can obviously keep the privacy rights of all their customers, and they can't disclose information that, say, you and I would ask for. But there's an exception that allows for police and prosecutors to get access to social media accounts, for example, with a search warrant or a court order. And usually that's what happens. The prosecutors or the police, the investigators, get that warrant. They say, look, we need to search this because there may be evidence of a crime in it. And the companies turn it over. There is no such exception for defense attorneys. So when defense attorneys want to get access to social media information from these companies, and they try to do it through a subpoena, the companies, in this case, in other cases, say, sorry, we just can't do this because of this old law.
There seems to be a little bit of a disparity there, Andrew. But before we get to that, talk about why that disparity in disclosure is so important in this case. What allegedly went on between the victim and the perpetrators here that makes social media posts so important?
Sure. Well, the defendants in the case say that the victim in the case, the young man who ultimately was shot, was threatening people with violence. So obviously, if you're a defense attorney and you're preparing for a murder case, and there may be evidence that the victim in the case was threatening your client, you want that information. You want to evaluate how direct the threats were, whether there were actual threats at all, because that obviously goes to the motivation for the crime, that goes to a self-defense motive even. It's key information if it exists. And what happened in this case, the defense attorneys subpoenaed these big companies, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, trying to get access to this information. They know that there is some information out there. They just don't know the details of it. They couldn't go to prosecutors because prosecutors either hadn't gotten the material or got the material and weren't saying whether it was exculpatory or not, so that their obligation to turn it over to the defense hadn't yet triggered. Prosecutors say in the case, look, don't ask us for help. You're the defense. You need to do this by yourself. So there is now before the California Supreme Court this case that's going to hopefully answer some of these questions. What the defense attorneys say is, look, we need to have a level playing field, and these companies can't hide behind these old this old law to say that they're going to produce in some cases and not produce in others.
Well, big social media companies in general resist attempts to get them to give up information, whether it's under warrants or not. So what are they saying here?
Well, what they're saying here is we are afraid that if we give this information to the defense in this case, we are violating our obligations under this law to our clients, our customers, and they're going to turn around and sue us. The defense says that's nonsense. That's not going to necessarily happen, especially if the requirement comes from this case, from a judicial order. But you have this, what I found to be this just really disparate treatment in this case. You would think that the information that's being sought here, being relevant to a defendant's fair trial rights, would trump the privacy concerns expressed in the law. And that's really what this case is about. The defense is saying, listen, these clients, our two clients, have constitutional rights to a fair trial. They have constitutional rights to try to get as much information that they can before the trial, and that it's useless to wait until the trial and then have a request made that's then going to just delay the outcome of the case. So this has been brewing for a long time now. This is going on 5 years since this murder, and obviously this has to be resolved before the case can go to trial.
And Andrew, this case is currently in front of the California Supreme Court, but the Stored Communications Act is a federal act, and this is definitely an issue with national implications. Why is it in state court for now?
Well, it's in state court for now because that's where the discovery fight is, right, in the criminal case. The criminal case obviously is a state case and not a federal case. It's a state murder trial. So you're going to have this ruling one way or the other from the California Supreme Court, and then it's going to be fascinating to see what the companies do if they lose, what the defense is going to do if it loses, whether this is going to try to find itself to the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court can take cases out of the state court systems, especially when they involve questions of federal law. I don't want to predict that this is a case that the U.S. Supreme Court would be interested in, but it is a case with larger implications. There are, you can imagine, plenty of different scenarios across the country where a defense attorney would want access to this information, and these companies would say, no, we can't give it. We'd like to, we're sorry, but we're bound by this law. And so it's the interpretation of the law that's going to matter here, this old 1986 law.
We'd like to, we're sorry, but we're bound by the law. Meanwhile, prosecutors can get the information. That seems like a situation across the country that eventually is going to be ripe for review here.
It is. And one of the fascinating sort of angles to this story is the companies in their briefs are saying to the defense attorneys, why don't you ask the prosecutors for help? Let them get access to this information and let them share it with you. And of course, the defense is saying, no. The whole adversarial system in criminal justice is that, we don't share with the prosecutors our tactics and our strategies and what information we're trying to get before trial. And the prosecutors are saying the same thing. Look, we don't want to help the defense here. We don't want to serve as an errand boy or errand girl for the defense as it tries to get this information. If the defense is going to get it, it's going to have to get it itself.
Andrew Cohen, senior editor at the Marshall Project and author of Case in Point. Andrew, always a pleasure.
Thank you.